thankful that you joined us this morning, and we believe it's going to be a great time this morning and tomorrow night. Praise God. So we thank you all of you all for joining us, both in person and online, to our healing and teaching service. Praise God. And so we've been teaching about faith for healing. Faith for healing. Last week we shared about the receiving aspects and four different steps to receiving anytime, anywhere, or for anything from God. And particularly we're emphasizing healing. And so we say anytime, anywhere, for anything that's challenging your physical body or your mental mindset or your emotional health and well-being. And so we shared those four steps through the example of the woman with the issue of blood, and we saw that she said it, she did it, she received it, and she told it. So we say the first step is to say it, to do it, and to receive it, and to tell it. Now today we're going to talk about the resisting side of faith. How do we resist? How do we resist sickness? How do we resist the devil of disease that tries to bring incursions into our physical body? And so let's bow our hearts and heads before the Lord in prayer. And so we're thankful for you to join us today. And if you're watching for the first time, let us know. Text us, connect with us. If you're here with us regularly, just let us know. Give us a shout out and say, hey, I'm watching. And let's get ready to receive. Let's bow our hearts in prayer before the word. Father, we thank you that your word will be so powerful and so productive in our lives. We position ourselves and posture our hearts in a place of humility to reverence, to respect, and receive your word. We thank you for revelation knowledge. We thank you for divine illumination. We thank you, Father God, for Holy Spirit through the word impartation. And we thank you, Father God, for revolutionary revelations changing our lives for the better forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, tonight I'm going to start with James chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. James chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Classic Version. And it says, is anyone among you sick? Now, this is the action attitude that we should embrace. The church should not be full of sick people. Amen. Because healing belongs to Christians. Healing belongs to the child of God. Amen. So he should call for the elders of the elders, the spiritual guides, and they should pray over him, anointing him with oil in the Lord's name. And the prayer that is of faith, the prayer that is of faith, will save him who is sick. That word save is a word sozo in the Greek, which means to make whole or heal. The prayer that is of faith. So we can pray the prayer of faith. We anoint, which is a representation of the Holy Spirit and the power of God. We anoint with oil. It symbolizes that, but it's a point of contact and a point of reference for people to connect with. That's why we use the anointing oil. It's a reference to help them receive. That, hey, when hands are laid upon me in the name of Jesus, that anointing oil represents the anointing and the power of God to cure me of my sickness. And he said, we do it in the name, and the Lord, it says, will restore him, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray also for one another that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so, in our churches, we usually pray for the sick according to this scriptural definition. And this is not wrong. But it's only what we want to talk about and emphasize tonight. It's only a small part of the way we are to minister to sick. This is a way, but it's only a small part of the way. We're praying for the sick. Tonight we're emphasizing resisting sickness, resisting disease, resisting the devil that would try to bring sickness and disease and physical infirmity or mental torment to your lives. And so we're going to talk about the resisting piece of it tonight. That's our emphasis. Because in Jesus' earthly ministry of dealing with sickness and Satan, diseases and demons, he's our example, and we need to see how he healed. The sick were healed by him, and it may surprise us tonight, ladies and gentlemen, but Jesus never prayed for the sick. You never find him praying in a position that say, okay, I'm praying for you to get healed. He rebuked sickness. He rebuked sickness. So if we're going to follow in his example and his footsteps, there are going to be times where we don't need to pray about it. We need to say something to it. Now, we're talking about faith for healing, and sometimes faith is saying. Yes, faith is praying, but faith can work by praying. But faith, first and foremost, is a faith by saying. So when someone is ill, what are we going to ask God when we pray? Heal the sick? And when you take the reference of 1 Peter 2:24, which says, by whose stripes you were healed, that means everything concerning sickness and disease has already been taken care of. Healing, we said healing is a grace. We said healing always comes. It's not always received, and it's not always resisted in faith. So, and if we ask God to heal, if we do, we are asking him to do something he's already done. He's already healed and removed sickness through the works of Jesus on the Christ. 39 stripes, ladies and gentlemen, that were laid upon his back, which represent the 39 major categories of sickness and diseases that existed then and will ever exist in today's environment. New diseases, new diagnoses, new medical discoveries of dilemmas and mental disorders or emotional disorders or physical disorders or diseases. Everything's covered under those 39 stripes. So healing has already been established as our inheritance. Amen. Healing belongs to us. Healing is the children's bread. Praise the Lord. And of course, therefore, sickness is nothing more than a trespasser. So when it comes into you or comes upon you, you say, it doesn't belong to me. So we have an obligation to either receive our healing as the Holy Spirit leads us and directs us, or to resist that sickness or those symptoms that are trying to creep up on your body or come into your mind. Everybody see that? So sickness is nothing more than a trespasser. You know, we, like Jesus, need to rebuke sickness and command it to leave on the authority of his completed work. Amen. When Jesus commissioned his disciples, he gave them power and authority and to effectively deal with devils and diseases, afflicting, affecting, and assaulting people. Let's look at Luke 9:1-6. It says in the King James, then he called his 12 disciples together and he gave them power and authority. That means two different things. We have not only ability, we have authority. We have ability. You have the ability to dominate and deal effectively with diseases and demons. He gave you power and authority over all devils. Is there any left? Once we say all devils? And to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Now, he did not say, my brothers and sisters, go pray for the sick. He said, heal the sick. You got to catch that. He did not tell any of those 12 disciples to go pray for the sick. He told them to go heal the sick. Because he gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure what? Diseases. Now he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves, nor scrip, nor bread, nor money, neither money, neither have what whosoever will not receive you. When they go out of cities, shake off the very dust of your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. It didn't say praying for the healings everywhere. It said healing everywhere. So they were doing healing, just like Jesus did healing. Guess what we're supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be doing healing. And the best place to practice is on yourself. Hallelujah. And on close loved ones in proximity to you. Because your faith, listen to me very closely, your faith has authority in your family. Your faith extends in the domain of your family. So husband and wives can pray for each other, can lay hands on each other. That's your practice. You're practicing like Jesus did. He prayed for folks. He spoke to stuff. Amen. Now, notice that Jesus gave him power, which is anointing. It's the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God, and authority, which is a right to command, change, and control things in Jesus' name. Now, let's just use an example. How would you use your authority against a headache or migraines? You can lay hands on yourself and say, in Jesus' name, get out of here. You don't belong here in Jesus' name. Migraines, you go. That's a part of you resisting that sickness. You're giving a faith command. And you're saying, this, I command you to leave. Body, get in line, change. And you're controlling your health. Because authority helps you dominate and control your environment and your circumstances. Your circumstances may be, I'm feeling like I'm just getting my head's pounding out of my head. You know, my headache's pounding out of my head. Or perhaps you're staying up all night because you're worried, sick about stuff. Take authority. Release your God-given, grace-given right to command. I know y'all got to chew on this for a little bit, but just receive it. All right, so the fourth chapter of Luke describes how Jesus ministered to sick, so we're going to look at scriptural examples, and demon-possessed. He did it three times. Now, Luke is a medical doctor by upbringing, but he followed Paul later, and then, of course, he was with Jesus. And he medically records all these beautiful accounts of Jesus' healings because he has a good little description. And so the first time he delivered a man with an unclean spirit, look at Luke 4:35. And he rebuked him, talking about this evil spirit, saying, hold thy peace, come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and heard him not. What did Jesus do? He rebuked. So in other words, he told that evil spirit that was in that demoniac of Gadara, he told him, be muzzled and or speak no more. In other words, because Jesus told the devil to muzzle the demons that were in this guy, a legion of demons, and the main devil, which was a ruler of darkness, he spoke to him and said, shut up, we would say it today. Stop talking. What can you do today? In the name of Jesus, shut up. Stop talking. And see, demons have a intelligence of some capability to do what? Speak. And they have the ability to obey. But see, carrying the name of Jesus gives you the authority in that name, because it consists of everything Jesus was, everything Jesus is right now, exalted as our Lord, and everything Jesus will ever be. There's no other name higher than the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. All right, the next case, we see Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law, who was sick with a fever. Now notice this in verse 39, Luke 4:39, he stood over her and rebuked the fever. He stood over her and rebuked the fever. Now wait a minute, he's talking to a fever. Now is Jesus retarded or Looney Tunes? No, he is our Lord. He is our master. He's our controller. He's our example. And so when he spoke to a fever, that means we can speak to fevers. We can speak to allergies. Come on, we can speak to headaches. We can speak to joint pain and muscle pain. We can speak to our heart. We can speak to our liver. We can speak to our lungs. We can speak to our kidneys. Come on now. We can speak to your pancreas. You can speak in the name of Jesus. And if Jesus is a healer then Jesus is the same yesterday, today, forever. He's a healer today. So when you speak to stuff, it has to be healed or changed or corrected. And so he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and the fever, left her. And immediately she arose and ministered to them. And evidently the fever has ears. And it can obey you. Why did Jesus say, talk to mountains? Why did he say to the sycamore tree? Sometimes you have to speak to stuff. It's part of you resisting. You have to rebel and tell that devil of disease to get out of my body. Get out of my house. The last situation, let's look at verse 40 and 41, same chapter, Luke 4:40-41. Those were possessed with many demons. Now, when the sun was setting, any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Now, notice he didn't pray for them. He healed them. And the devils also came out of many, crying, saying, thou art Christ the Son. And he what? Rebuking them. He rebuking them. Suffered them not to speak. For they knew he was Christ. So they knew, they acknowledged, hey, he's Lord. And we know when Philippians tells us that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that what? Jesus Christ is Lord. What does that mean? We said it before, let's repeat it again. When we say Jesus is Lord, that means he's master, has absolute mastery over death and all its faces. Now, sickness is a form of physical death. It's a form of physical death. So Jesus is Lord means he has absolute mastery over death and all its faces, over hell and all its hosts. That means any devil or demon of hell. And then over Satan and all his works, because Satan is the one who brings oppression to the bodies or the minds of God's people and any people everywhere. See, sickness came from sin and Satan. We shared that last week. Sickness comes from sin and Satan. Satan is the father, sin is the mother. It gave birth to sickness. So that's why they're all synonymous, as we say. Same source. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When we say Jesus is Lord, we're saying that sin and all its consequences are taken care of. In other words, like we said on the first opening scripture, when we pray, anointed them with oil in the name of the Lord, the prayer of faith will what? Heal or make whole the sick, will save the sick, and the Lord will restore them and raise them up. And if they've committed any sins, they shall be forgiven. Why? Okay, wait a minute. We're dealing with sickness here. Why is sin there? Because they're synonymous. The same Savior, the same Lord that forgave you of your sins and cleansed you of your sins provides healing for your physical body. And many people don't see that, the fact that when Jesus died on the cross, it was he died for our sins, but he also took care of our sicknesses and our disease. So Jesus rebuked sickness the same way he rebuked demons. We know demons can hear, but what is amazing, so can sickness. In fact, every creation can hear God's word. Somebody say, glory to God. Jesus also spoke to the fig tree, and it obeyed him. We know that in Mark 11. He told us if he would speak to the mountain or the sycamine tree, Mark 11, 23, Luke 17:6, they would also hear us. Thus, any work of Satan can be spoken to. You need to get that. Any work of Satan can be spoken to. And it will hear and obey your faith command. Your faith command. Now, Ecclesiastes 8:4 says this, for the word of a king is authority and power. Amplified Classic. For the word of a king is authority and power. Who could say to him, what are you doing? I remember a story, one of our instructors at Raymond, Pastor Keith Moore, now he's pastoring now. He said he was in healing school, and a guy came in with what was called an inoperable brain tumor. It was a big tumor, and he was only given a few. Everybody was afraid to operate because it was so big and so entrenched upon his brain. It was huge. And so he came in and sat at the back of the healing school, and he was teaching about this, faith commands, and faith for healing. And every day, Monday through that Friday, they were going through the exercise of speaking to that tumor. Now he's sitting there, and he's half in, half out, but he's catching the faith, getting faith for healing. And so they spoke to that tumor, and they said, tumor, die. We command you, tumor, in the name of Jesus, to disappear, to dissolve in Jesus' name. They spoke to that tumor and commanded it to die, to dissolve. Now, Friday got out, and then by Friday, one of the medical doctors at ORU, a couple of them said, well, we're spirit-filled doctors. We'll pray and we'll perform what they call a biopsy and see if we can deal with this tumor. So they weren't afraid to deal with it. You know, many doctors were, so that's why he got moved to Tulsa, and not moved, but went to Tulsa and went to the healing school. So they laid him up on the operating room and were praying over him. Now, they had been speaking for 5 days over that tumor in healing school. And they opened him up, and that tumor, they said it looked like an octopus. It had 8 tentacles wrapped around his brain lobes, and it was very entrenched, and they were taking time trying to figure out, how can we get to this thing? How can we get to this thing? And so they spent an hour or so trying to figure out, how can we get at it? And they said, well, let's take a break. And they were, you know, sweaty, and they went and washed up and cleaned up, take a break, and they said, we're going to get back there. He's still sitting there, sedated, under, you know, local anesthesia. His brain's open. And then when they get back to getting to it after taking a break, they said they went back, and they saw that thing had fell off. That tumor had fell off. Now, it was cauterized, like it had been burned off, and all 8 So they just scooped it up, put it in a thing to, you know, run some reports on it, and then they closed him back up, but they looked and said there's no more evidence of any tumor, not even a trace. So they closed him back up and said he's fine. Amen. Praise the Lord. But they spoke to that tumor. Guess what? Sometimes you may have to speak to your trouble. So the Bible says if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. James 4:7. Now, if you say devil, you can also say disease. If you resist disease, it will flee from you. That means run from you as in terror. And one effective way to resist is by our rebuke. You got to speak to it. Not only will Satan flee from us, but he must abandon his works of evil in our lives. Now let's define rebuke again. It means to criticize sharply, mirroring reps and disarray, to reprimand, to serve as a rebuke, to turn back or keep down, to check, to express disapproval of, to censor, to disapprove, refute, censor. The Greek word for rebuke is a compound word made up of two parts, which means upon and higher. Upon and higher. So this means to judge, and the word means to judge from a higher standard. What are we bringing? The name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Come on now, the word of God. They are higher standards than that sickness, than that disease, than that mental or emotional abnormality or trouble. Come on now, they are higher than depression. Come on, they're higher. Come on, the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the word of God, it's higher. It's higher, hallelujah, than diabetes. That's higher than cancer. Because the disciples were amazed, and they found out the demons were subject unto them through Jesus' name. Jesus told them in Luke 10:19, "Behold, I give unto you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." So he gave his disciples then, that means he's done for us. You have power, to authority to trample on. That means they're under your feet. That means disease, depression, discouragement are not to dominate us. We're supposed to dominate it and them. He said, "I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over how much power? All the power or the ability of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you." That's beautiful, isn't it? Serpents and scorpions represent demons. They have been placed under our feet through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Ephesians 1:22 says, "And he put all things under his feet." So whatever you can think of, whatever long name diagnosis that the doctor can give you or describe to you, that's under his feet. And because you're part of the body of Christ, it's under your feet. He said, "All things under his feet," and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. So the new birth puts us above demons, diseases, come on now, depression. And so we have a right to judge them from a higher position and put them underfoot through the authority given to us in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of y'all stirred up about this? So furthermore, Jesus told his disciples that they had authority over all the power of the You have authority over all the power of the enemy. Now, the enemy may look like a big 18-wheel truck coming down the road, but guess what happens when the police department or sheriff, county sheriff, stands out in that road and has his lights flashing? What does everybody do? Move over, slow down, stop. Why? Because of the authority behind that sheriff or behind that police officer. Isn't that right? So that's what you said. So the devil wants to make. I'm an 18-wheel Mack truck coming at you. I'm going to roll you over. I'm going to possess your body for the rest of your life. But you say, stop in the name of Jesus. Pull over and get out of here in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. See, these, the works of Satan, do not always come from demons. Works of Satan, including body sick, these are including body sicknesses, or you can just apply it to financial lack, depression, oppression, and a host of other problems that we all on occasions face. Now let's go back and review Jesus a minute. He rebuked the lunatic demons. He rebuked unclean spirits. He rebuked deaf and dumb spirits. He also rebuked fevers, and he rebuked winds. Remember he did the wind when it looked Mark chapter 4, he's going to the other side, and the devil always try to keep you from getting to the other side. And you can just fill in the blanks of what other side do I need to get to? The other side of my faith to receive my healing, the other side of my faith to be increased or prosper financially, the other side of my faith to see my family come into the kingdom, whatever other side. What did Jesus do? He rebuked the wind. So the question, are we rebuking the wind? Now the winds represent adversity, resistance to your life and the will of God for your life. The winds represents the contradictory circumstances that try to block, stop, and hinder you from getting to your faith destination. See, where Satan is concerned, there are two dangerous extremes here. People fall into the Christian life. One, to think too highly of him and see him in everything we encounter and everywhere one we meet. The devil's bothering me. The other one is to not take him seriously at all and disregard any knowledge of him or his kingdom. He's a real devil. We are at war. And he brings his bag of tricks. You know, debt, devastation, disease. Steal, kill, and destroy, right? And so we have to see, we are told twice in the New Testament that an understanding of Satan's kingdom is essential to our spiritual success, because that's why faith sometimes has to resist. Because the devil is busy. He never takes a day off. And so he's either going to try to make you sick. He's going to try to keep you worried, floated up with care. He's going to try to take away your circumstances, or you're going to try to mess with your family. Y'all know that, right? Amen. So we, like Jesus, we need to use the power of rebuke. Not only against demons, but also against the works of Satan and the daily attacks of life. Now let's look at something here in 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5, 5 and through 9, for example. We talked a little bit about this Sunday, but good to recover it again. I'm going to read out an Amplified Classic. It says, "Likewise, you who are younger and lesser rank, be subject to elders, the ministers and spiritual guides of the church, giving them respect and yielding to their counsel. Clothe yourself, apron yourselves, all of you, with humility." Now, we all put our clothes on, so we're all in charge of our humility part. So you got to get up and put your humility clothes on. He says, as a garb of a servant, so as not that his covering cannot possibly be stripped off from you, with freedom from pride and arrogance. Now, that's the opposite of humility. That means arrogance and pride says, I got this, I can handle this, I can do this myself. And particularly if you're in the activity of staying up all night trying to figure things out or trying to fix it all by yourself. Now, what do we call it today? Let's talk a little bit. We call it control issues. Some people have control issues. Oh, my goodness. They think they're Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I got to handle this myself. That's why they stressed out. That's why they flake out. That's why they fall out of faith. Well, praise the Lord. I don't want to step anybody's toes, but this is the word of God. He said, so that you're free from what? Pride and arrogance. Pride and arrogance has an eye problem. Not eyeballs, but the letter I. Because they're only thinking with their own thoughts and trying to figure it out their own way. He said, pride, arrogance toward one another, for God sets himself against the proud. Uh-oh. The insolent, the overbearing, the disdainful, the presumptuous, the boastful. Now, that's the manifestation of pride in all those areas. That's why the Amplified Classic is so rich in it. And he opposes, frustrates, and defeats them. Now, do you want God to oppose, frustrate, and defeat you? But he said he gives grace, favor, blessings to who? The humble. He gives grace because, well, remember, faith takes, grace makes. But faith takes what grace has made available. What has grace made available for you, God, you and I? Healing, deliverance, victory, blessings, triumph. Amen. That's what grace is. You can't earn that. Prosperity. Grace has made it. But if see, if you're not humble, you don't get the grace. And God opposes, frustrates, and defeats you because why? I'm trying to do it all by myself. I'm trying to handle it by myself. Let's keep going. Verse 6. Therefore, humble yourself. How do you do it? You demote, lower yourself in your own estimation. So when you come against what? Something that you think you can handle, guess what? You need to demote yourself. Under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Listen to this. Casting the whole of your care, verse 7, all of your anxieties, all of your worries, all of your concerns, once and for all on him. For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Because when we're worrying and we're anxious, we are thinking about what? Ourselves. So he's tying a thread through humility, saying casting your cares is humility. It's an act of humility. Carrying your cares is an act of pride. And so in pride, sometimes we want pity. Look at all the problems I'm having. Look at all the pain I'm going through. And people aren't using an ounce of faith against that, but they're wanting people to feel pitiful for them in that. That's pride. That is demonic. You got to resist that. Crying like a victim instead of commanding like a victor. Praise God. Y'all getting something out of this? He said, look at that. Be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind, be vigilant, cautious at all times, for the enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a lion roaring in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. Withstand him. Be firm in faith. Against his onset, that's instruction, guys. Be firm in faith against his onset. Withstand him. Rooted, established, strong, immovable, and determined, knowing that the same identical sufferings are appointed to your brotherhood, the whole body of Christians throughout the world. So, friends, you got to tell the devil no, just like you tell your young child no, or tell you, they tell you no when they don't want to go to sleep or hear the word no. They say no back. You got to tell the devil no. When's the last time you told the devil or disease no? When's the last time you told, no, your bank account getting raided by excessive expenses and all that? When was the last time you said, no, take your hands off my money? See, the understood subject is you. You resist the devil. You be sober. You be vigilant. You be cautious. We often say this is the humility three-step. You know, whenever you took dance class or whatever, I taught you two-step. I'm dating myself. But anyway, so this is the three-step. What do you got to do? You got step one is submission. Why is submission so important? Step one. Why? Because I can't be in authority if I'm not under authority. Because if you're rebellious and being self-centered and you're not under the authority of your lordship and your spiritual leadership, you got to be under the lordship and your spiritual leadership. That means I'm humble myself. That's the first step. And then the next step is first step is submission. Second step is humble yourself. He said, under the mighty hand of God. The first step, submission, is the key to power. You can't be have authority and in authority if you're not under authority. The second step, humble yourself, is the key to promotion. He said, humble yourselves. That means you demote yourself and God will promote you. You don't get promoted unless you first demote. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, the way to go up is to go down first. Some people always try to get ahead and get control and try to do it on my own. But the first step is said, Lord, I can't handle this. Even though I've seen this type of situation come upon my life many times before, I can't handle this. So I humble myself. I demote myself before you, and I let you coach me and correct me and communicate to me what I need to do with this situation. And then the third step, remember three steps, is cast your cares. Because if it's on your mind, it will get in your heart. Remember, our load limit for cares is what? Zero. So if I'm full filled with care and anxiety and worry about my money, my body, my family, amen. Come on now. Anything that concerns my life, then I'm exceeding my load limit. Because worry reduces your faith to zero, as we said. Casting your care is the key to the promise. What promise? You get peace. Peace does what? Peace guards and protects your heart and your mind. Why are there so many mental issues today, particularly during the pandemic? It's spiked up. People are worried. People are in fear. People are fretful. Amen. And anxious. What's going to happen? You got to cast that care on the Lord. Where's my next money coming from? Are they going to run out of money? Are we going to get a new stimulus check? Are we going to have enough finances to make it to the end of the year? You got to do what? Get rid of that care. Hallelujah. Now, the power of daily rebuke has also been further revealed to us through Paul as we close. Amen. Isn't this good stuff? Paul brought the power of daily rebuke into our daily lives. So think about, what do you do daily to resist and rebuke things or contradictory circumstances, my brother, that come into your life, or contradictory or crisis that the devil tries to bring and introduce in your life? Now, none of us are exempt from persecution, problems, pain, or the plans of the devil. But we can do something about them. We can resist them. We can rebuke them. Everybody say, I can resist the devil. I can operate in the power of daily rebuke. Now, Romans 8 says, The chapter tells us beautifully of a spirit-filled and spirit-controlled life. He said, you know, there's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the what? The Spirit. For the law of life in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Listen to this very clearly. I'm repeating again. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free, set me free from the law of sin and death. Now remember, sin produces death, wages sin and death, but the law of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Remember, sickness is a form of physical death. Debt, lack, and poverty are forms of financial death. So you can kind of look at it in any area. Now, what is key about this is this spiritual law of the law of life in Christ Jesus, spirit of life in Christ Jesus, is that faith-filled words will dominate the law of sin and death. Not fearful words. Faith-filled words will dominate the laws of sin and death. Now listen to this. When you're under the Spirit's control and Spirit-filled. At the end of the chapter, Paul admonishes us to be bold with our mouth against the works of Satan, those circumstances which come against us daily. The world is not only filled with demons, but also with the curse placed here at the time of Adam's transgression. We'll talk about that tonight during our identification with Adam. You know, Adam brought some bad stuff in it. What we call the earth curse system. The world has a curse on it. Now, we've been redeemed from the curse of the law, but we had to deal with the curse on the earth, curse of the fall. It's called the curse of the fall. We have to deal with the curse of the fall. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Curse of the fall is when Adam fell. Because still today, people are born in sin. And Satan's still the god of this world. That's the curse of the fall. The curse of the law is poverty, sickness, and spiritual death. Praise God, we've been redeemed. Amen? So this earth curse system will continue until the second coming of Jesus Christ. The curse brings evil circumstances against us, just as it did with Jesus. The same rebuke against demons should also be turned against evil circumstances. Now let's look at verse 31. Verse 31, Romans 8. He says this, what shall we say to these things? Now church, let's look at it. What do we say? If God be what? For us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us how many things? So what do you say to the evil circumstances? What is the first thing you should say? What shall we say to these things? Pestilence, famine, peril, sword, bad circumstances that come in your family upheaval. What do you say to those things? You say, if God be for us, who can be what? Against us. If God be what? For me, who can be what? Against me. Now, how many times are you saying that? This came up, this drama. Let's not spread the bad news. Let's deal with the bad things. And we have to be reminded sometimes that this mouth isn't just for complaining, crying, and criticizing, and calling out everything that's bad. This mouth should be used for daily rebuke as a resistance to the devil, but also resistance to evil circumstances. There's been times when all day long, because the devil's trying to mess with my head, and say, look at this. Well, look at what I say to those. I said, if God be for me, who can be against me? If he gave me Jesus, he'll freely give me everything and anything I need. Praise God. That's what I say. If God be for me, who can be against me? If God's on my side, how can I be denied? Amen. Praise God. How can I be denied victory? How can I be denied triumph? How can I be denied anything and everything I need? Because God is for me. If he gave me Jesus, then he'll give me anything and everything I need. Let's keep reading. Who shall lay any charge to God's elect? It's God that justifies. Now, a lot of times when you get financially messed up or mixed up or behind, the devil comes and accuses you and try to condemn you. You should have managed your money better. Shouldn't have bought that. Rah, rah, rah. Well, you got to say, who shall lay any charge to God's elect? Because the devil's a what? An accuser of the brethren. And he accuses us before God how many times? Revelation says day and night. That means he's running up in hell tattling on you and me. He's trying to tell. God, they don't deserve to be blessed. They don't deserve to be healed. They don't deserve the victory. They don't deserve triumph. But what do you say? Who shall lay any charge against God's elect? It's God that justified me. I didn't self-justify myself. God justified me through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, through his death, burial, and resurrection. I am justified. Hallelujah. It's just as if I'd never sinned. It's just as if I never had anything wrong, done anything wrong. It's God who justifies me. You got to talk back to the devil sometimes. You got to talk back to that evil circumstance that tells you don't deserve to be healed. Look how you eat. Look at all the bad stuff you put in your body. You ain't even trying to do right with your body. And you sit there and let condemnation, which is a disease of the devil, it's a disease of the spirit. It causes you to be crippled in your belief system, where you can't grip the promises of God. And your faith is fractured, or your faith is injured, so to speak. And you can't believe right, and you won't speak right. Oh, this is good stuff. All right, it's Christ that died that is risen again, is even at the right hand of God, who also make intercession for us. I mean, Jesus is up there praying for you. He's ever interceding for you. Somebody say, glory to God. Who shall separate us from the love of God? See, Paul is telling us every aspect, every area, every circumstances, every arena of life, God has answered every question. In the positive. So you need to be thinking, believing, and saying the same thing. Who shall separate from the love of God? Shall tribulation? No. Shall distress? No. Shall persecution? No. Shall famine? No. Shall nakedness? No. Shall peril? No. Shall sword? No. It is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long, for we are counted asleep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things. What do you say? Nay, in all these things. What? We are more than a conqueror. Everybody say, I'm more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror through him who loved us. Hallelujah. Him that loved us. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we speak to things. We boldly say in confident faith to the circumstances of life, to lack of food, lack of clothing, lack of distress in situations, persecution from sinners, fear and present or future, if God be for me, you cannot be against me. You cannot be against me, disease. You cannot be against me, depression. You cannot be against me, division and family strife. You cannot be against me, debt and financial lack. You cannot be against me. So this is the power of is not only against occasional demons and sicknesses, it's also against the trials of life that come to us every single day. Like demons, these circumstances have ears. And God gave you a mouth to use to speak his word and to speak his will. Amen. And to do his works and not let Satan's works dominate you. But you, through the works of God, dominate them. Did everybody get that today? Praise God. Stand to your feet and thank you. Let's thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can rebuke and resist demons. We can resist and rebel against disease and sickness. Thank you, Father God, that by faith we can receive healing, the healing power of God, and by faith we can resist and rebuke demons and disease and every difficult circumstance that comes into our life. You gave us a way to resist and respond, but faith. To resist and respond in faith. In the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. Thank you, God, Father God, for the faith that you've given us to use to resist and rebuke things that have come from the devil, come from disease, come from sin and sickness into our lives. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. Now,